Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome back to the show. This week, me and Kristen are going to be diving into a really, really suspicious but also interesting topic. We're going to be talking about the moon and everything in its entirety, which is absolutely a massive phenomenon when you really look at it. I had no idea that the moon was as suspicious as it is until about 2 weeks ago when I did a little bit of research and found out a couple of things, babe. Say hello to everybody to start off the show, and let's get into
it. Hey, what's up, everyone? Yeah, we're going to be talking about some weird but very interesting stuff today.
Yeah, so to start off, I just want to reference Gaia. I know that we've talked about this a bunch on the show before, but that's where all this information that we're going to be talking about comes from, and 80% of this is all hypothesis, you know, and theory. Yeah, None of this is really scientifically proven, the actual events that we're going to be talking about. But in the same sense,
this is like a thought on like the what ifs.
We really honestly have next to no knowledge on the moon.
Like, we do not know anything about the moon, really.
No. Because school doesn't teach you shit about the moon. But
public schools... Well, because we don't know anything. We don't know anything about the moon.
Well, no, but...
Not enough, anyway. Like, we don't...
But do they like to act like they know things. You learn in school... You learn quite a bit about the moon in school. Like, you learn that it controls the tides, which we're going to talk about that. We had a really, really interesting talk the other day that I want to bring up about the moon controlling the water of the earth. But... like, they don't really teach you the in-depths of the moon, like where it came from, how long it's been here, the surface.
How did it get there?
There's so many different things that you don't learn in public schools, right?
So many questions.
Yeah, we're going to get into a couple of those things. But so, first things first, I would like to reference, I can't think of this guy's name. He does a show called Uncharted X. I think he's a German geologist and researcher, but he talked a lot about the moon just being full of anomalies when you really look at it. When you look at the math and you look at the dimensions, just everything that has to do with the moon.
Okay, are we talking about the craters right now?
Oh, we can talk about the craters to start. So the crater anomaly on the moon is absolutely fascinating as hell. So basically...
Everybody knows there's... Everybody knows the moon is covered in craters.
The moon is covered in craters, but... the fishy thing that we found out the other day was that no matter how big the crater is, like width-wise, so say you could have a crater that's 2 miles wide, but then you could also have a crater that's 200 miles wide. But neither of the weird thing about it is no matter what the size of the crater...
None of them are deeper than 3 miles.
Yeah, 3 miles is the max depth of any crater on the moon. So this just goes to tell us that...
they do not go any deeper than 3 miles. That's the deepest that they go, no matter how big they are. So what is stopping them from creating deeper craters? They get wider, but they don't get any deeper than 3 miles. There's something there.
Yeah, so basically the idea... the idea is that the crust of the moon, 3 miles down underneath the very, very outer crust that we can see, is something. Something that is, I don't want to say impenetrable, but very strong.
Like the strongest.
The strongest, which is really weird. That's an anomaly. The fact that there are craters that vary in size, and, you know, craters are obviously caused by cosmic impacts, asteroids coming and hitting the moon, but, like... think about this for a second. If you have a 2 mile wide asteroid hit the moon, goes 3 miles deep into the surface, you have a 200 mile wide asteroid, which is significantly larger, and it hits, but it goes just this deep. It doesn't make the math doesn't add up. So that's an anomaly in itself right there. For anybody that listening and thinks that I'm full of shit, this information's backed up by science. Like, there are...
just go look it up. You'll find
it. Yeah, just go look it up. You'll find it. Ancient Civilizations on Gaia is the series that I watched to get a little bit of this knowledge. Go check that out. That'll blow your fucking mind.
It's good stuff. So they talk about ancient civilizations
that talked about a time where there was no moon.
Which is weird. That's a lot of Native American, like, a lot of Native American cultures have the no moon, or that there were two moons. There used to be two moons that orbited the Earth. It's just really weird, you know, and when you get into those specific things about the moon either not being there or having two of them, that's when you can get into the Younger Dryas and what that was and
how affected. So how about, for people who don't know what the Younger Dryas is, explain what that is real quick so people aren't completely lost in this conversation.
I mean, yeah, the Younger Dryas is something that's a humongous phenomenon to scientists still to this day. A lot of evidence points to theories.
Okay, let's go back. Tell me what the time frame of the Younger Dryas is.
Okay, so the time frame of the Younger Dryas is, if I'm correct, 11,800 to 12,900 years ago. So it's like a span between like 1,000 to like 1,200 or 1,300 years. That's the time frame of the Younger Dryas. We're talking like a long time ago, a very, very long time ago. This predates most of what schools teach us about human civilization. You know, schools teach us that human civilization started 5,000 years ago, roughly, and what we have today is a product of that. But the phenomenon with the Younger Dryas is that there were civilizations before these cosmic impacts happened, and basically the gist of it is that cosmic impact hit the Earth 12,800 years ago, or somewhere in that time frame where the Younger Dryas started. And when these comets hit the Earth, you're talking about massive, massive,
like,
chunks of rock and ice and debris, worldwide destruction. This is like global catastrophe, and there are geological sites that prove this, that this did happen. You know, there were...
They've proven this.
The Younger Dryas.
This is not...
But
this
the impact, hypothesis is what's the theory, you know? The theory is, how did it happen? We know that it happened. We know that some cosmic event happened and the Earth got really fucked up. Really bad for a really long time. Like, they know this happened. There were, you know, the world ended by fire, and you can see this in the ice now, in ice core samples.
Well, it didn't end. You can't say the world ended because...
Well, no, but civilization, I would say...
I don't even think so. I don't even think civilization got wiped
catastrophe.
Out. Because, like, there's proof
that... I think a global catastrophe is a good word.
There's proof that civilizations were built underground.
Yeah.
And that most of the population was wiped out, but there were small groups of people who did things like built underground societies, underground communities, where they lived during these catastrophes.
And this all roots back to having a intelligence of some sort give information prior to the event.
Yeah, you know? And that's where we don't know. Did they have outside help? Did somebody come to them and say, hey, this is what's headed for you, this is what's coming, and like, you need to prepare? Or were these people just so in tuned with the world around them that they could sense or predict that something very large, something very bad was going to happen, and they prepared for that? Or did they have knowledge of something like this happening before and were trying to prepare for that type of catastrophe to happen again?
I think that it plays a huge role in the fact that people were a lot more connected back then. You know, like we talk about, people were a lot more in tune, like, with the divine back then. People were, you know, a lot more in tune with plant medicines back then. And it wouldn't surprise me.
They were far less advanced in technology.
But more sophisticated.
But more sophisticated in their consciousness and in their spirituality and their connection to the planet and life around them.
I really think, you know that old, you know that old
like
saying?
Like, way more intelligent in those areas than what we are.
It's kind of like that, you know that because old saying, work ignorant. Smarter, not harder? I really feel like that's what ancient civilizations was those people worked smarter. They didn't work as hard as what we work today because they were smart and they knew things that we do not know today.
Like, developed in themselves.
Yeah, big time. That's what I'm saying. Like, they didn't need the technology that we have today because they were so in tune with everything that they were able to build megalithic stone structures without the tools that we have today. And, you know, this goes not even from the pyramids. This is like Göbekli Tepe, and this is the stone megalithic circles in England, you know, the force that it takes to create that is something that we don't have. It's really unimaginable for us today. Like, we can't even imagine how it's done because of the world we live in and the way that we think of things being built. We don't have the perception that they had. And it's just, it's fascinating.
It is. It's very fascinating.
But to get away from the pyramids and all that stuff and back to the moon,
And how this all ties in. So we explained what the Younger Dryas was, so you guys weren't completely lost on that conversation. Yeah. So now that you guys know what the Younger Dryas is, we can move into this theory about the moon.
So basically the idea is that the Younger Dryas started because of a major cosmic event. Something happened in the universe that caused a racing amount of cosmic events to hit the earth and cause great change here for like 1,000 years. We see that scientifically, but how did it end? This is where it gets fishy. This is where I kind of was like, holy shit, man, that's wild. Like, that's out there, because Greg Braden, right, geologist on Gaia, famous guy, has wrote books and books and books and books, been on TV, documentaries, the whole nine yards. And he says that, you know, the ending of the Younger Dryas, you've got 1,000 years of absolute chaos on the earth. You're talking about wildfires and volcanic eruptions, earthquakes, massive flooding from rains and glacier melt off. And in the midst of all this, this is an uninhabitable planet, realistically. And they talk about,
because all of these catastrophes are happening at once because Earth's been thrown off its axis by this cosmic event.
Yes. So basically the idea that the hypothesis is based off of is the moon was placed in the perfect position in Earth's orbit to counteract the shifting of the Earth, like whenever the impact happened, and it shifted the Earth's axis.
The cosmic event happened that threw Earth off its axis, so everything is spinning out of control. The world is in utter chaos, and something placed this moon exactly where it needed to be in order to restore order.
And balance
to Earth with it being off its axis.
So, and this might sound a little far-fetched, and I thought so too when I first listened to the theory, but it gets even deeper. So the next part of the theory is that in our solar system, every planet that has moons that orbit it, orbit the equator of the planet.
Except ours.
Earth is the only planet in the known solar system that the moon doesn't directly orbit
on the equator
of the planet. So basically what this tells us is that something placed Earth's moon precisely in the location that it is. And science knows that it's like 6.4 degrees north of the equator. I might have that number wrong, but I can go back and fact check myself later. But it's just barely above the equator, the moon is placed, and it's locked into Earth's orbit too. So this is also another fishy thing. These are all anomalies of the moon.
And the way that it rotates, we never see a different side of the moon. We always see the same side of the moon because of the way that it rotates our rotation.
The moon is locked in on the same exact orbit as the Earth. So like Kristen said, we're always in the night sky when we see the moon. We're always seeing the same side of the moon because the moon spins at the same rate the Earth is spinning. So this is an anomaly in itself because a sphere rotates and spins based on its mass of a sphere. So it's an anomaly that the moon and the Earth spin the exact same because the masses of the moon and the Earth are not the same, obviously. The moon is 1/4 the size of the Earth.
It's also exactly 108 moons away from the Earth.
Yeah, diameter.
And the sun is exactly 108 suns away from the Earth.
Yeah, and that number is actually, it's either very coincidental or it's very important in our relationship with the cosmos. Because, like Kristen said, the distance between the moon to the Earth is the diameter of the moon 108 times. And also, the distance from the Earth to the sun is the diameter of the sun 108 times. And there are a couple distinct similarities in some Hindu and Buddhist traditions that also correlate the number 108. So, you know, all of these things are so fascinating. And it really makes you wonder, was the cosmic impacts and was the moon placed? Was the moon actually placed in our solar system around our planet to calm down the effects of the catastrophes going on so that human life
could thrive? Well, life
on Earth could thrive.
Because at the rate it was going, everything was going to be wiped out. A lot of things were wiped out. And the thought that maybe something somewhere out there in the universe purposely placed this in our orbit to put things in order so that the life that was left on Earth could continue.
Oh, yeah.
And rebuild.
And another huge part of this phenomenon is also the Tiamat explosion. Like, this is something that they
Tiamat is, yeah, for those that don't know.
This is all new knowledge to me, too, but it's absolutely so fascinating. So, Tiamat, or Phaeton, or there's a couple other names that many other religions and cultures around the world have used, but Tiamat was supposedly a gigantic watery-based planet. Very similar to Earth, but larger, that orbited the sun in between Mars and Jupiter. But the theory is that somehow, some way, the planet exploded. And in that explosion, that threw off the gravitational balance of the sun. Because you have to understand that the gravity of the sun
the solar system is connected. And when something that large blows up, it's going to have an effect.
The
effect that it had on the sun caused a massive flare.
Which burnt up.
Which caused the end of the world.
Quote unquote,
the end of the world by fire.
Yes.
Because of that solar flare that was caused
by the disruption of the gravity field by that planet exploded. Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically, and they also say that, so Tiamat exploded, and in the explosion formed the asteroid belt that we know now sits between Mars and Jupiter. So they say that, like Kristen said, the explosion of Tiamat threw off the gravitational balance in the solar system and caused a major solar flare that caused the end of the world by fire. And then you've got fragments of Tiamat that break free from their orbit around the sun and are heading towards Earth. And these fragments are gigantic rocks filled with cosmic dust. Platinum and, you know, frozen water, like solid sheets of ice. All these different things combined. And then when it hits the Earth, you've got, like we talked about earlier, a massive rush of fresh water coming to this planet that wasn't here before. So at that time, you know, all this water coming to the planet is shifting the axis of the Earth, which causes volcanic eruptions and earthquakes. And for basically 1,000 years, the Earth was, it was basically hell on Earth. And that is what we know now as the Younger Dryas period. But at the end of that, it's the theories that can cause the ending of the Younger Dryas and all of that chaos. The moon fits very snugly into there like a puzzle piece. And it's really fishy. It really is fishy when you take a look, because there are four main
origin stories of the moon. If you are somebody who has like opened your mind enough to even be considering like theories like this, then it really doesn't. I mean, it doesn't really sound that far off. Like, it makes sense.
It makes more sense than,
and honestly, like, what they teach in schools. This is a big question that I've always like rolled around in my brain for like my entire life, is like there being life elsewhere. Because why would we think that we are the only planet out there out of all of everything that has life? That's so small-minded, I feel like. Yeah,
it is. It is small-minded. It absolutely is. Because
that's just, that, I don't know. I just, like, my brain's like, that's not very likely. Out of every solar system, every part of the universe, it's, you're telling me we're the only planet that has life? No way.
They're
no
discovering way. Now that there is or was water on Mars, lakes, oceans on Mars. And if Tiamat really did exist, that's a whole entire another planet bigger than Earth that was full of water. Which, if you have a planet that can support water and have water on its surface,
then there's life.
You have a planet that can have life.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So,
well, and there's life in water.
Yes.
In water itself. Yes. So, I mean, yeah, if you've got a planet that's got water, you've got life.
And this is going to tie back into something that we wanted to talk about the other day, about, you know, humans are 75% water or 70% water, whatever that is.
I can't remember the exact
statistic myself, but we are a majority of water.
And we are made up of a majority of water. We know that the moon controls the tides of the ocean. It controls water. It has a massive effect on it. And we are made up mostly of water.
Yeah,
so why would we not think that the moon and the different phases of the moon in relation to us would have an effect on us? Of course it has an effect on us. Yeah,
and this has nothing to do with anything like religious or anything. This is science. When you think about it at its core.
You can believe any religion, follow any religion that you want, or not follow a religion. It doesn't matter. This is science. Like,
the science at its core tells us. If
you
really sit down
and think about the moon and how it operates, and then you think about we as humans and what we are made up of, Why would you not think that it has an effect on us? It does. It has to.
Absolutely. It does, for sure. So I was at work the other day and heard a great conspiracy about the dark side of the moon. The dark side of the moon. So
the dark side of the moon.
Absolutely. So now
that's what it made my brain do.
We know now that the moon is locked into rotation with the Earth, the orbit. So that means that we only see one side of the moon all the time.
Yeah, we touched.
There's a huge conspiracy out there that talks about there being like multiple bases on the backside of the moon. military bases on the backside
of
the
And we would never know.
Yeah.
We would never know.
Nobody would ever fucking know.
How would they know?
There is no way.
How would they know?
Look at that big bright moon outside. It's beautiful. What? No, not a chance. I'm telling you right now, it's so fishy. And when we go back to that, there's no craters that have exceeded 3 miles in depth. Fishy.
Just say everything about the moon. We know nothing. We know nothing about the moon.
So after listening to this episode, I want everybody to become open-minded about the fact that the moon could very well possibly be a mechanical biosphere that was placed perfectly.
I mean, we're not saying that it is. I'm not saying that I fully believe in this.
What do we really know?
What do we really know? We don't know anything.
The more I know, the more I find out that I don't know and that I have a lot more
time. Oh, yeah. The further we dive into like this like growth journey that we are on and this self-development and spirituality journey that we have embarked on, the further we get into it, the more I realize how absolutely little that I actually know.
Mm-hmm. Big time. I love it. It freaks me out, but I love it. I can't not believe it. That's my problem, is that like there's too much that fits perfectly. Like I said, in sync with the puzzle, like you've got the younger Dryas that is this crazy phenomenon that happened. Like most people can't even wrap their heads around the amount of destruction that happened to the planet.
Because it'd be like that movie 2012.
Yeah, like big time.
Actually, like that shit actually happened.
Yeah, like instantaneous freezing. Yes, just like yes. 2012 kind of. Yeah.
Dude, do you remember when that movie came out?
Everybody was freaking out.
Me and my cousin Ashley watched that movie in theaters 2 times. Yeah. And we were actually kind of like freaking out about it, because we were like, what if this actually happens? Like, what if this actually happens? What would you do? What would you do?
Human civilization
as a whole is not in any way, shape, or Randall form prepared Carlson, for something like that to happen at all.
You remember the video we watched? Randall Carlson talked about Edward Toll. He was an explorer, and he went up into Siberia, into the North Arctic, and found a tree that was green. An alpine tree that was still green, but frozen solid. Frozen solid, and kept going and discovered mammoths that still had fur that were completely frozen a lot.
Like, they literally had like green grass in their trunks. Like
an instantaneous freeze.
So that means that this literally happened. Them being frozen literally happened in an instant. It happened. In the blink of a finger.
You know, Randall Carlson talks about, he was like, if you could make a list of all the list of megafauna. Of the megafauna, you could make a list. It's a humongous list. And all of them disappeared in the blink of an eye. You know, you've got a whole world full of species that are absolutely obliterated from the face of the earth. And that leads into a whole other conversation.
What kind of life was on Earth before this? Are all those myths and stories that we hear, are those actually myths and just stories? Or are those real life creatures that once walked this earth that have survived in the stories and myths, quote unquote, of our world that we have now?
What I love about people like Graham Hancock. What if that stuff was actually fact?
Maybe, you know, those things don't exist now in today's world, but what if at one time they did?
That's what I love about Graham Hancock and Randall Carlson. Both of them. In the same instance, you've got two guys that have degrees and are some of the smartest men on the planet, but also so open to myth and legend because they understand that that's where that's all we have. That's all that is left.
And if so many different cultures have the stories that have the same,
that's where it gets
mythical, quote unquote, creatures in them, why would that not lead us to believe that these are not fiction? That this is real life that was here at one point and the stories of those things being passed down is the proof of those things having existed. Because how could you have so many different types of people from all over the planet having the same types of creatures in these stories?
Yeah, that's right. And all, I mean, it goes back to the Great Flood. How many different civilizations have the story of the Great Flood in their culture? A lot.
So many.
So many. And then you also think, okay, well, if they've got the story of the flood, then they've got the story of some individual being told that a catastrophe is coming, and
I don't think it was like aliens or anything like that came down and like warned us of this thing coming. I mean, it could have been, but that's not what I think happened. I think that we as a species used to be much more advanced in our consciousness and our spirituality, and I think that we were able
to see the future,
to predict future. Things like yeah. this yeah. and we no longer have that ability. We have lost that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Been dumbed down by society.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks to public schools.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I mean, public schools don't really help, but
no.
And that's coming from that's coming from somebody that actually works in the public school system.
This is the thing that public schools
That's a whole nother journey.
It is a whole nother journey, but just to be brief and quick about it is they don't allow you to critically think. They don't teach you to critically think.
No, they teach you to obey.
Yeah. And the problem is like, it just take all this whole entire conversation we just had. Nobody in school is learning this stuff. This is not in the curriculum.
But this is the truth. They don't want you to think for yourself.
But that, I know, that's the problem. If you knew, if you had any idea about the Younger Dryas and what it was, it would make you question
what you're learning.
It makes you question what you're learning. It makes you question.
But they don't want you to question anything. They want you to obey, accept and follow rules.
Yeah, yeah. But that's just
Fall in line.
Fall in line. Big time. But the moon is just so sketchy.
Just question everything, guys. That's the point of this. Yeah, question everything.
You, at this point, especially in today's society, like with COVID and all the bullshit that's going on and vaccines, just question it all. Why?
Everything. Question everything in your life. Question it all.
Why is the best question that you could ask yourself ever? Just because.
Or how. How's another one? If you don't know how something came to be or how something works, how can you actually understand it? You can't. So how? Why and how?
Why and how? And you can apply that to every single area of your life.
Why do I feel this way? How can I fix it?
How do I relate? You know? And that's another thing too, like about the moon and all that stuff. I'm not fully immersed in it, but I know that there are connections with the moon, with people's moods and their,
I'm very
wired internally and we have astrology. Internal circadian rhythms that match up with the moon. And I've done a little bit of reading in books about that. That's some crazy shit right there.
Oh yeah. That'll have to be a whole nother episode.
Definitely. For sure.
All right. Yeah, I think that's a wrap, guys.
I think that's a wrap. That was a good one. I never want to overload people. I know that it's a lot of information to take in.
Yeah, we could literally sit here and talk for hours about this.
I have to spend a lot of time prior to recording digesting a lot of this stuff because a lot of it is just so fucking much.
And we know some of the stuff that we talk about on here is out there.
Nobody is taught this stuff in schools. Nobody. They don't teach this in schools. You know, this is something that you have to find on your own, and then you formulate these ideas by yourself. And it's like you said, you know, we don't want to throw anything out there and put anything on people. I just want people to understand, like,
it's good to think for yourself.
It's good to think for yourself. And like, they don't tell you this. These facts are just spread out.
Read this book, study these facts that we tell you are facts, and don't question it. That's what they want.
And then they put all the other stuff out there in the air, and then they don't tell you about it. And you're just basically ignorance to the fact that it's there.
Yeah, but that's what they want. That's why the school system is the way that it is.
Oh, that's absolute facts.
And that's why people look so down on homeschooling. Like if you tell somebody that you homeschool your kids, you're getting weird looks from most people.
Because they just don't understand.
Yeah. But that's it. But that's what I'm saying. I'm just saying, question everything.
Yeah, that's huge facts. And that's why we're here. You know, that's why we created this show, was to take ideas like these and break them down into kind of digestible stuff. Like, I know that stuff like the Younger Dryas and the moon possibly being like artificial is absolutely bonkers as fuck. But it's something to think about. Yeah. It's fishy and it's
interesting. We're not saying it's fact. We're not saying we're experts. It's a hypothesis,
but it's interesting.
This is some interesting stuff. And think about it. Yeah, think about it. That this could be a possibility. Just open your mind to the possibility. Don't accept it as fact, but just mull it over. Yeah. That's what we're saying.
100%. So for anybody that likes this kind of content, you know, stuff like this, that's a little out there, far-fetched, anything, go follow Kristen at SquirrelBrainBabe1 on TikTok. Go check her out there. And then, as always, stay tuned with the Facebook page and everything for Diversity in Life. And we'll catch you guys on the next one.
See you guys later.